With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is TV worth talking about.
My gut tells me we're dealing with sophisticated bombs.
This is Shrine Podcasts.
90 seconds, hooray!
Trigger Point.
Hello and welcome to Shrine Podcasts Trigger Point. I'm Brendan.
I'm Hannah.
And I'm Rebecca.
Now, the third episode of Trigger Point saw us looking for an Uber in a haystack. It became even more apparent that Lana just isn't that into Tom. And we learned that Danny is as heavy-handed while applying aftershave as I am. The episode also left me Googling what a patsy is. It is not the stone of Ab Fab fame, FYI.
And it's not the thing you put in your nipples when you're... Is it a pasty? What's that called?
You put a pasty down your bra.
Remember, like, Hannah, when I was going to the Imro Awards and I was wearing a low-cut dress and you said, listen, you need to put the nipple covers on rather than wear a bra.
What are they called?
They begin with
nipple
P.
covers.
Nipple covers.
There's another word, guys. Let me Google it. Go on, proceed. Sorry.
And Vicky McClure.
No, but can I ask quickly, am I really loud in the microphone?
No, you're fab. Okay? You sound great.
We launched in right grand. Sorry.
Carrying on swiftly. And Vicky McClure got to show off her snooker skills. This week, a giggling Reb has your thoughts and theories, and Hannah has our recap. Hannah, we've something to tell you in a second, but before we tell you that, people are waiting with bated breath. Do you have heating?
People in their ones on Twitter. Yes, I have heating. Yay! It's the first Trigger Point podcast where I am warm. I've relocated. So yeah, maybe I'll be in good form about this episode. We'll have to wait and see. Also, can I quickly talk about as well what I've learned on Twitter about where water from the upstairs tap comes from?
Oh, please do.
I wanted to fucking gouge my eyes out.
Well, no, Hannah, I don't mean about when you said it, though. I'd never drink from a toilet tap.
I think I probably
have. Can I just say, I don't drink from the toilet tap regularly by choice. All I said was that I can understand why Vicky did it and I didn't know why it was wrong, but I knew it was wrong.
Fair enough.
I have done it in the past, but you know what I can't stop thinking about now? We brush our teeth with that water.
Yeah, but you don't swallow it.
Yeah, for twice a day.
It's like, you know when you go to Spain and there's always a thing in Spain where they're like, do not drink the bathroom tap water. Like, it's like shouted at you.
Yeah, because you've got diarrhea. But I didn't realise it was because of the animals living in the attic. Oh, I wanted to die. But thank you to everyone who informed us of that on Twitter during the week, because it truly was an education.
So basically, they're saying that if you live in an older house, that your water supply can come from two different places, and sometimes dead animals get caught in it, and then you shouldn't drink it. Is that what?
Yeah,
that's what happened.
That is exactly it. And the tank, more often than not, is in the attic,
and it's not
and
covered.
More often than not, you have friends that live in the attic with you, and someone showed just a photo of an old water tank, and sweet Jesus, like, I don't know how I've got this far in life, to be honest.
It did happen
to us. That's what's going on up
there. When my mom built her house that she's in now, the water tank for the hot water was up in the attic, but we were only in and there just wasn't a cover put on it yet. Well, in a couple of weeks, like, the water out of the shower, the pressure was like, it was like dribbling. There was nothing. And they were like, what is going on? They went upstairs into the attic to investigate. No cover on the tank. There was a baby bat had drowned in the tank and was like at the little outlet, like blocking the outlet so the water couldn't get out.
You could have had a coronavirus.
You were showering.
I could have been
water.
Batman.
Sorry. Oh my God. Sorry. Okay. Well, that was eye opening, that whole situation. Also,
that is like the superhero
story
we never knew we needed. The origin story of Brendan.
I am Batman.
As an
Irish. Oh my God. Also, guys, they are called nipple pasties.
Nipple pasties.
Nipple pasties, yeah.
Yeah.
You can get them in
I
boots.
Just think of Greggs.
Yeah, it sounds very maybe British. I don't know. It's a nipple pasty. Daisy and pennies yeah. anyway.
Pasties. Maybe people call them pasties.
Do you know what? If anyone's listening from the marketing department in Greggs, if you haven't already thought of it, this Valentine's Day, yeah. Greggs nipple pasties.
Oh my goodness.
And Batman, I'll advertise them for you.
Oh my God, you could release some sort of croissant that looked like the Batman logo or something.
Yeah, it would work very well. Now, do you want to tell Hannah what experience we just had a couple of minutes ago?
I knew there was something when I came on. You were very giddy all together in this little studio.
Hannah, okay, so myself and Brendan present a breakfast show.
Can I guess?
Okay, you
met some sort of humorous celebrity or you've had or something... Yeah. To do with Simply Red. They're my guesses.
Oh, that was close. That's close.
We've been trying to get Mick Hucknall on the show for 2 years now and it hasn't happened
How
yet.
Did I know?
But we actually had a conversation with Paul from S Club 7, right? Okay, so we all remember S Club 7.
Paul Cattermole.
Reach for the Stars, Never Had a Dream Come True, Don't Stop Moving. Yeah? Great songs, right? But Paul actually is now a professional tarot card reader. So myself and Brendan this afternoon got psychic readings off Paul from S Club 7. And they were really accurate.
This is the most Rebecca Shackleton crossover of interest in your life that could have ever actually happened.
Isn't it? Just the cross. It's S Club crossed with tarot card readings. Now, Paul's reading for Rebecca had gone on so long. I was like, Paul, I don't need one.
It's also crossed with like a middle of the road celebrity, yeah. which tend to be the people that Rebecca yeah. gravitates yeah. towards.
We're obsessed with like a C to D list celebrity. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are. But it was,
and that
it was
is
was
no
really
slight
accessible
to Paul.
Celebrities from the early noughties.
Yes, exactly. Hannah, do you remember yourself and myself were doing a gig and you were DJing and I was doing karaoke and Bradley from S Club 7 crashed the gig?
Sorry, but let's tell this story. I want to hear your story and then let's tell that story.
Yeah, no, oh, sorry, but Paul from S Club 7, yeah, like he is
gave
us psychic readings. Like, I found him very accurate. He seems like a lovely man. He's designed his own tarot card deck. He's on Twitter. So if someone's interested in getting a psychic reading, I'd recommend him.
Also, Paul from S Club 7's tarot cards are actually pretty cool. They're really bright and yeah. funky looking. Like, he designed them himself. They are fab.
I am delighted for him. Can you reveal any of the psychic predictions that Paul
I mean the usual we're both going to go through adversity but we're going to come out the other side and everything's going to be rosy, you know? That tends to be what a tarot card reading usually the shape they take, isn't it?
Yeah, he told me I was going to have a row with someone on the 10th of March, which I found very specific.
Yeah, the 10th of March at 4:30.
Yeah.
Reb's going to have a scrap.
And he knew I was getting married and he said that like it's going to be a sweet time in my life and everything else going to move house.
Sorry. Yeah. He did not tell you on the 10th of March yeah. at 4:30.
Now, he
you're
also
going to have an argument with someone.
He did, and he said she was going to win.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but Hannah, he knew, he was like, you're going to move house, you're going to get married, your house is going to come from your marriage. I was like, oh, fucking better. and like, Brendan's was really interesting as well.
Yeah. I didn't read. I need to listen back to it, but
it was better than that other.
He said
tarot
I was
card
like.
He said shared with that absolute con artist.
Can I say her name or like?
No,
I won't.
Don't.
She was absolutely adamant that I was in love with a long-haired brunette lady, and I said, "Now, no, honestly, not." And I wasn't. You know, some people go in, they take the wedding rings off, or they try and like hide themselves or whatever. I was fully me, and she couldn't see what was sitting in front of her.
He actually vogued into the room.
Remember, that was an unusual experience. I do think, though, I invited about 30 people over to my house and that poor woman had to give 30 people a reading in one go. Your energy would be drained.
She was drained.
Maybe if we all got together and we could piece together and be like, well, actually, that was a bit of my reading that you got, Brendan. We were all just standing too close together in the hall.
That might have been it. Now, Hannah, did you have something else to tell us there?
Oh yeah, well, we're just going to tell the story about the time that me and Rebecca were doing karaoke DJ show, and I'm like out of nowhere, Bradley from S Club 7 stage bombed and then done a performance. Well, I just came away from the decks and had to come out and just film Rebecca's little face because she was there like hosting a karaoke show with the audience singing back to her, and then all of a sudden one of her icons, and like none of us knew it was going to happen. I don't even think, like, I didn't even know he was there.
I didn't even know he was playing that festival.
Yeah, but was he performing at it?
Yeah, no, I think he performed on the main stage because we were in one of the tents. You know, Hannah, I had a video of that. We must post that somewhere.
The video is wild because her little face. I was like, Rebecca, you're literally doing a live performance of Bradley from S7. It was amazing.
Amazing. Okay, that is our mediocre pop star catch up.
Wow.
Hannah, you've got
Can
the recap.
Can I just quickly, two talking points. There's something going on here with ITV and Line of Duty, because two other Line of Duty stars this week
announced I saw
new
this.
ITV dramas, separate what? ITV dramas. So two friends of the podcast.
One of them is Grace, yeah?
One of them is Grace. Craig Parkinson is joining that. That already
Did you see who else is also in that with Craig Parkinson?
No.
None other than fake Kate herself, D.I. Michelle Brandis.
Guys, what's going on? Did they just go onto the IMDb and close their eyes and point the finger and say no?
See, we'll
do that show
lands.
With this person. And Martin Compston is joining Our House, a new ITV drama.
Our House.
With someone from Downton Abbey. Very exciting.
Well, there you go. That'll scratch an
itch. There's a few shows that we may podcast about or may not. Happy Valley, though, that's one for
Happy
us, guys.
Happy Valley, 100%.
Happy Valley's locked in. We have to do recaps and everything for that now.
We will.
We never did the first two. The first two were years ago.
Yeah, we'll brush up on that ourselves and then help everyone else brush up at the same time.
Right, do you want to brush up on Trigger Point episode 3?
Take it away, bitch.
We pick up where we left off on last week's episode with Walsh attempting to disarm the bomb. Brendan, you had an incredibly well put together description for that bomb last week, because it has this
it's got a mercury tilt switch or some sort of tilt switch. Yeah.
Someone was on the Google. So she is attempting to disarm the mercury tilt switch bomb while an incredibly worried man remains trapped behind the door. With just 90 seconds left, Lana pleads to the man to shut up and remain calm, ignoring the pleas of her boyfriend to get out. Danny then attempts to get her to leave with just 30 seconds to go, and it is incredibly stressful. Lana and Danny make it out of the mosque with seconds to spare, running down the road as the bomb detonates, and that poor man was left in there. That was hard to watch now.
Yeah,
back
awful.
At the station, it is late and Youngblood is briefing the team. They are under a lot of pressure to get a result, and they've been sent an encrypted voice message. A robotic voice claims the bomb was revenge for what happened in Whitehaven. We call on the white race to take our palms. We are the Crusaders, I believe, was one of the lines from that encrypted message. So the Crusaders seem to be a splinter group from the English flag. We learned about those last week. The team then watches CCTV where a white man in a baseball cap is seen entering the mosque with a blue bag and leaving without it. So that is the man planting the bomb. Lana delivers her briefing. The bombers used a high explosive weapon.
It was at this point of the show. Sorry, it was at this point of the show that I realized, I was like, I feel like I know what happens. And I went, oh no, I do know what happens because of the
psychic
synopsis.
Sally in the corner.
The synopsis that Reb read from the ITV website last week.
Which is now gone, guys.
You know, somebody messaged us to say that somebody from ITV had been listening, because the synopsis for last week's show was like sliced. There was like about an eighth of it left. It was the first two lines and the rest of it was gone.
That is a bit scary that someone from ITV is listening to this, isn't it?
Just me? No, it is a bit unnerving. And then at the same time, I'm like, you've posted it, so sorry. I'm going to take the information and read it out.
Well, I got two lines this week. That's all I've got.
Whether you've seen it or not, Rebecca, I'm sure Paul would have told you all about it today anyway. Later, back at Bomb Disposal HQ, Lana fights with her colleagues for not being there when she needed them. They say it was her responsibility as a senior to request backup. So if things weren't bad enough, Wash then gets a call to bail Billy out of jail. It looks like he's been fighting in a halal butcher's. Turns out he is incredibly racist and has a very bigoted view of the world, and his apartment is in bits, and he's kind of in bits as well.
Yeah, he's like, don't open the curtains. I was like, yeah, keep them closed.
No. And guys, when he does open the curtains, she's then like, oh, says something about his car being done up. And I went, Billy, have you been hanging out with Carl the mechanic?
Oh, I missed that bit.
That's straight over my head.
There's my theory for the week.
No, I changed my mind on Carl this week. Kind of into Carl.
Oh, Carl.
Brendan, I knew you would be Carl. Absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, he is. Warren Brown, absolutely gorgeous.
I can't believe you forgot that he was in Luther. Like, you love Luther.
Yeah,
that's kind of the
know.
Foundation of our friendship, Luther and Sherlock.
Well, for me, it was Luther. I think you and Brendan are Sherlock.
Sherlock, yeah.
Was it not Luther for you, Brendan?
No, it was Sherlock for me, pet.
Oh, sorry. Now, poor Lana has had a night of nightmares about the man she couldn't save. But then Sonia wakes her up with like more bad news. So the information that they were after, and Sonia is Ricky Gervais's wife from Afterlife, which I just finished during the week, and it was really sad, but brilliant. The information they were after is classified. And then Sonia wonders, like, what bombers have this level of access? So that's, there's a lot of foreshadowing around the access that the bombers have, and like, is it an inside job? So later in the day, Lana sits on a bench after a run. She tries to ring Youngblood, her boyfriend, gets no answer. Then she reads an article about the wife of the man who died in the mosque. Then she smiles at a text from Carl that has two X's in it, and she decides to pay him a visit at a local garage, which is also home to like a stunning dog.
The dog, it was the same height as her. Now, that message she looked at was the message that he sent her last week. So she's gone back through the phone to open up the same message that she didn't reply to
she's
from a week ago.
She's mulling over the situation.
Yeah, she was like, I'm going back to text him now and then meet up with him. So the pair have a Vietnamese weasel coffee. Now, guys, I've tasted this coffee before.
What is it?
And yeah, I had it in Vietnam. I'm pretty sure it's called coffee luwak or coffee lupak. And a luwak is a little animal that looks like a weasel. And they make the coffee from their poo.
Excuse me?
What? I'm not joking. Why and that
they, is why would you
Carl
drink that?
Said to Lana to not ask what was in it.
Hannah, did you drink a weasel's shit?
I did, yeah.
What?
I did. See, I just have a really high immune system from drinking the shite out of the attic, you see.
How many coffees?
No, that is a delicacy in Vietnam.
How many coffees do you reckon you get out of Steve Arnott's car?
In particular would love this, but when we went to the coffee shop that did this particular type of like traditional coffee, the luwaks were there. And one of them, I'm not joking, I have a photo of this, drives to the coffee shop every day with the coffee shop owner on the back of his motorbike, on his back. He just clings on and they drive on a motorbike to the coffee shop. And then he helps them make the coffee and then they go home. He has
sorry,
a job.
I love that you're like, he helps them make the coffee. He shits himself all day.
Yeah, but it's his little job, Brendan, and he goes on the back of the motorbike on his little back.
Is he on laxatives?
So cute.
Like, how does he perform all day long?
Well, the coffee shop was like on the edge of a beach and had like, it was kind of more of a, like a little shack thing. And he just sits in the trees with his friends. And then he goes home on the motorbike with the man. I just couldn't get over how well behaved
Hannah,
he was.
Hannah, was it nice like when you tried it? What did it taste like?
Oh, just beautiful, like really rich, tasty coffee. And in Vietnam
you
as well, now, I don't
shit.
Know if this is the type of coffee they had, but they make it with condensed milk. So it's real, sweet. Almost like thick, creamy, really sweet.
Condensed
and then the coffee is absolutely delicious.
Yeah, but they're
like,
shit
delicious.
In it. I'm sorry, am I the only one that's like, can't get my head around the fact that you're so okay about the fact that you drank a weasel shit?
Yeah, I'm telling you now. Unless I made it up,
vegetarian.
So when you're doing Boston theories later on, I'll just mute myself and Google it to be 100% sure that is what happened. But yeah, that is it. Brenton, I was getting into the culture. I was on holidays.
It's like you're in the Go Compare ad.
So the two of them are walking down the road having a Vietnamese weasel coffee and they're exchanging war stories and they're bonding. And then Carl brings what? I keep calling her Walsh, Wash, to a local snooker hall. But the way he brings her, they like run off like 2 15-year-olds on their first date. It's actually quite cute. And then after some thinly veiled flirting, Lana reveals she almost died on her first call out to disarm a bomb. And then she admits that she froze at the mosque and she's scared of a number of things, that she isn't going to be able to do the job, that she's going to lose her job, and all those fears that you have sometimes when you just get paranoid. So later on, in stark comparison to the like flowing conversation with gorgeous Carl, Lana and Youngblood have a very quiet dinner in his apartment. That is like, I am sorry.
Oh,
his
God.
Apartment
what is it?
Unbelievable.
That man does?
Yeah. Like that can't be off a policeman's wages.
No.
No.
Bent copper.
They need to fucking explain that now. That's very Line of Duty apartment vibes that like, we never ever got any explanations for.
Nicer
like
you than Joe Dickinson's.
Yeah.
Like, is it set in London? Like, you're talking millions.
Yeah.
Like, I just, and we're just not going to talk about it. So Youngblood has identified the man seen entering and leaving the mosque. His name is Nick Roberts, and he's got a long list of previous offences. Lana then lies about texting Carl while Tom loads the dishwasher, makes her a meal, lives in a stunning apartment, loads the dishwasher, and she's there texting another man. So they talk about what happens in the mosque. The man who died was named Ali and he had two children and a wife. Youngblood reassures Lana and tells her that he loves her. And then he asks her to move in and she literally looks so fucking depressed. And then he's like, okay, great, that's sorted.
Yeah, she's like, she didn't give him an answer. And he's like, brilliant. Like, he doesn't listen to her or pay any attention to what she's actually saying or not saying. Oh, Suso.
Oh, there's Suso. One minute.
Just speaking of dogs, lots of stunning dogs in this episode. Obviously the one in the garage, but then there's a little shot when they were going to get their weasel coffee.
Yeah.
And it was three pooches and it was so
cute. Oh, I didn't notice that. But the dog in the garage, like the size of him.
He's called Nelson.
He was like a small horse.
Yeah, he was massive. I'd say he'd be drooling.
That was Suso was sharing her opinions there on the dog in the garage, actually.
Exactly. Always welcome.
Picked up on that. So yeah, Youngblood obviously has a lot of pros, but he obviously has a lot of cons, and he's just not that really into Lana. And
I think Lana's not into him at all.
Oh, she couldn't give a shite. But I don't know. He thinks he's being a good boyfriend, but like not really supporting her at the same time. I don't know. It's just not working. No one's fault, but she does not want to be in that relationship. So back at Bomb HQ, Lana apologizes to her colleagues for going off on them the other day. The team watches a news report on the bombing together, and Hudson, who is the red-haired angry man who's always lying on the couch, he like randomly very quickly refers to the bombers as the enemy.
Yeah.
Or the presumed bombers, because they're at this point, they're still blaming them on Islamists. So Sonia then texts Lana to come to the lab, where she tells her that both the West Haven and Mosque bombs were almost identical devices, meaning they were planted by the same people. But Lana doesn't get a minute because another device has been planted in a van outside a pub called the Five Oaks. So the Crusaders have already sent one of their encrypted messages claiming responsibility. Youngblood, Danny and the others are already on the scene. All happened very quickly. Out comes the bomb disposal robot. And he's making his way towards the van and he's doing his little job. And then suddenly a sniper is shooting at the little robot. Then the firearms teams roll out. Everyone panics. Everyone's running out of the way. The firearms officers spot the shooter on the roof of a nearby block of flats, and Youngblood radios for all of the backup, air backup, ground backup. Everyone needs to get back. We've got a sniper and a bomb. However, the sniper continues to shoot. The firearms officer cannot get to him quick enough, and Lana realizes that if the van is hit in the correct way, the whole street is going to blow up. So in she goes again. As the firearms team tries to take the shooter out, Lana attempts to disarm the bomb under the cover of a green smoke bomb that she set off. But the smoke is thinning and the armed officers have yet to reach the roof. The shots keep coming. But with the help of Danny, Lana manages to neutralize the device. Thought that was going to be the end of the episode, but we actually get some more juice. Armed police officers surround a lift in the apartment building because they know that the suspect is coming down there, watching the floors descend. And it is Nick Roberts. It's the man from the mosque. He is wearing a vest and he's about to blow it up, but they shoot him in the head just before he can detonate it, and they call in Expo. Upstairs, a young firearms officer is clearing nearby apartments. He goes into one that's incredibly sparse. It has weird writing on the wall, and he spots a chair with a police vest and a hat on it. But before he can have a closer look, a large person creeps up behind him and slits his throat.
Shocking.
Outside, go on.
No, I just thought all of this was absolutely amazing. I thought from the sniper, the Lana getting the smoke to cover, the whole thing was amazing.
Waiting for the lift doors to open, and then one set opened, nothing. The second set opened,
so
and
good.
He was there. It was really
so
good.
So good. I thought this was the best episode yet.
100%.
100%, because I was like, oh God, when she was with Sonia and they called her and there was another device. Like, we know that it's a bomb. We know that she's on a bomb disposal squad, but I was like, we cannot have every episode with her like safely disarming a bomb, because we've had that in the last three episodes now. So what is going to be the difference? And I actually wasn't expecting this, so I thought it was really good. So we have your man and his throat has been slit. Now outside, Youngblood gives out to Lana for how she defused the bomb, saying it's not Afghanistan. I think this was in reference to using the green smoke as a shield.
Yeah, he was really angry about it. Like really, really angry. And I was like, is that Tom because you just didn't think that was going to happen because you were a part of the enemy?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he's like, it's not Afghanistan, like shouting at her. I'm like, she nearly died, Jesus Christ. So the dead officer has been discovered. Everyone looks pretty shocked, apart from now, in my opinion, Vigil's Cal McGannett, who is Inspector Lee Robbins in this show. I don't think he gave two shites that your man was dead. So
two of them sort of gave eyes to each other. Him. Yeah.
He's he's the head of the firearms officers, but he just did not look shocked. He could be just incredibly poised and good at his job. And back at the station, DI Desai and her team delivers a briefing to her team. They have spotted the man who killed their colleague. So they can see on CCTV from the apartment block a man dressed in a police uniform leaving in a white Prius. So it looks like he was the sniper too, because Nick Roberts did not have gunpowder residue on his clothes. Mm-hmm. So it seems that he was merely a decoy, allowing the second man in the white Prius to slip away, which he did. DSU Marion Hamilton pushes her team to solve the case, and Lana reminds the others that Nick didn't have bomb training. So unless this third mystery white Prius man did, they may need to look for a third person. And we watch the mystery throat slitter then blow up his white Prius in like a random field. It's kind of a very cool shot. Later then, Sonia and Lana take a closer look at the various devices from Whitehaven to the mosque. The bombers cut and twist their wires just like you're taught how to do if you have military training. It's how Lana does it, she tells Sonia. So this has got them thinking it has got to be an inside man. That evening, Lana hangs back at Bomb Disposal HQ and has a good read around in Hudson's locker. I think she was really taken aback by his comments about the enemy when they were watching the police or the news report the other day. Mm-hmm. And she finds, which why the fuck would you keep this in your locker in work, an English flag pamphlet and an A to Z map of London with Whitehaven and the mosque circled on it. Also, what I couldn't understand about this scene is like it was very dark, right? And her partners were like leaving the HQ because they're like, oh, we're going to go and have a sandwich. But then when she looks at her phone, it's 9:30 in the morning.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was like 9:03. And I was like, what? But then she looked on in shock. And that was the end of Trigger Point episode 3.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Wow, Hannah, well done. Do you think that there's someone walked in the end, or do you think that she just looked shocked? I couldn't figure it out.
I think she looked shocked. But I would be 70% shocked that my colleague was a bomber, 30% shocked at the utter, utter stupidity of leaving all of the evidence needed to convict him in his locker in the bomb disposal HQ where he works for
the
police.
It's too obvious. Surely it's planted by somebody else. And like the thing he said last week about don't give them excuses, and then this week about the enemy. Is this all just to throw us off? Like, that you wouldn't leave the A to Z of fucking London in your work locker with the location circled.
Post it.
Like, no. Like, that is planted in his locker, surely. Yeah. By somebody who we don't suspect. Because right now our eyes are on Tom, our eyes are on Carl, and our eyes are on your man, is it Hudson? And it's potentially none of those three.
We also know that Andy Phelan was in prison with Nick Roberts, and that's why Nick Roberts apparently targeted him, which I just thought that was an interesting way that they tied Whitehaven to him.
Yeah, and so the guy in the Prius who legged it, I think the sniper who was on the roof looked like quite a tall person. So he definitely wasn't the guy who came down the lift. Is it Nick with the
Sniper and that person was the same.
I don't think that the sniper upstairs and the guy that came out of the lift with the vest on are the same person.
Oh, no.
The sniper who also slit the throat is the same person who then slipped out and got in the Prius and ran away.
The sniper is the Prius man. We don't know who it is, but that is an inside man.
Yeah. I don't know. But this is definitely the best episode so far.
Yeah, the standout things for me is Tom being so angry about the smoke bombs. Obviously, yeah, he got a fright that she was going to be shot. He couldn't see her. But also, I was like, is that just going against your plan?
And it was really similar to how he was with her last week when she gave her opinion in one of those meetings.
Yes.
He was like, stop giving your opinion. And she's like, this is my expertise.
But is he, again, just someone who just is like, I know everything. Something else that came up. I love the relationship between Sonia and Lana. And there was one scene this episode that... Hudson says to Lana about the boyfriend, and Lana is like to Sonia afterwards, you know, if I hadn't told you about me and Tom, would you have known? Because someone said it to me, like your man John said it to him. So is that just another thing making it look like John Hudson is the inside man?
Yeah, I think she was implying that there's somebody who, and not Sonia, but somebody who's involved in this has given him that piece of information that they're together.
Yeah. I thought that was interesting one. And then the moment that she looks out at the brother's car and it looked fixed up and she's like, that looks good. Or something about
he's
the car.
He's been getting money from somewhere. Like, he's beating up people in halal butchers. What the fuck?
No, what the fuck? But
that
also, Carl's a mechanic.
And like, I feel like he's getting money from somewhere. I feel like young blood, there's something going on there. How is he paying for that apartment? And I'm very suspicious about that man that was in Vigil who is running the firearms team.
Yeah. And do you remember in week one we were all suspicious of Danny because he was sweating with the robot, but now we're all just like completely with
Danny. We love Danny now.
Yeah.
Is he the only person that we all haven't been like, oh, it could be him?
Well, we did on week one when he sweated, when he hesitated with the robot.
Yeah.
But since that, we're like, oh no, he's replaced Nutkins and like we love him.
They have said to us about that was all his nerves. That's why we all feel that way. But yeah, he could be hiding in plain sight. He could be part of it. He could be feeding them information. I don't know. But there's too many of them at this stage, guys.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Carl and the brother, that could be something that they might revisit with the car situation because that could be explained again, though. Could have just got his car fixed.
Yep.
Do you know? Okay, well, we move on to some thoughts and theories.
Yes.
Well, I quickly tell you about this coffee, right? Coffee luwak is coffee that consists of partly digested coffee cherries, which have been eaten and defecated by the Asian palm civet that's also known as a luwak. And the cherries are fermented as they pass through the civet's intestines, and after being defecated with other fecal matter, they are collected and basically turned into coffee. And kopi luwak is produced mainly on a variety of different Indonesian islands, but you can also have it in Vietnam as well. And some people call it weasel coffee.
Okay, so it's not their actual poo, it's the food
that they
haven't
digested
properly.
Out.
Oh yeah.
They have shat it out. They've been fed cherries, then they ferment and
Hannah, would
them,
you
and
have it again?
Out, and then someone in Vietnam or Indonesia turns it into an incredibly delicious coffee.
Would you drink it again?
Like 100%.
Wow. It must be good, Hannah, because I mean, you don't even eat onions or cheese.
I would never eat an onion.
No, you would never.
Or mushrooms.
No, I will tell you very quickly. I'm riveting podcast content, but I am actually, as I age, coming around. I'll never ever eat a button mushroom or those big, huge ones that they think they can give you as burgers if you're vegetarian. But the long lads that Jamie Oliver uses, they're not too bad now.
Okay. Have you had a truffle?
I've never had a truffle.
Truffle is lovely.
I was dragged up.
Delicious with a pasta, creamy pasta with a bit of truffle is lovely. Now, on to the thoughts and theories. Here are some tweets that we got in. Sophie says, really good drama and tension, but some glaring potholes. Example, trying to remove the door with a motion-censored bomb. It's no line of duty. I know we shouldn't compare, but I will keep watching because I'm a sucker. Nigel says, the throat slitting was very line of duty. The rest of it, not so much. Lots of line of duty comparisons happening.
Yeah.
Now, Sue says, I loved it because it's starting to ramp up now. And she also says that you can only compare it to Line of Duty if you compare it to the first three episodes of season one.
Yes.
Yeah, rather than a series as a whole. Phil Garty says, I realised last night that Warren Brown, a.k.a. Carl, was also in The Responder, which finished last week. A far superior show, I'm afraid, but we'll keep watching Trigger Point because Vicky's brilliant. One Love on Twitter says, the A to Z map in John's locker could have just been personal notes. It's not like she found any new information.
Yeah. Yeah, he could have taken note of where everything was.
He could just be trying planted. To figure it out, or it's planted. But he himself just could be like, I was taking notes of all these yeah. separate things. Michael Kennedy says, is the map a red herring? They could have added it after to try and work out a pattern. So yeah, that your man could have just been like, here, what's the story here? Mary Pookie says, I'm definitely thinking Carl is making the bombs. A great series, really enjoying it. Emma Toffey says, getting more into it with each episode. Enjoyed having a Line of Duty style guessing game as to which team member might be secretly bent last night. Mm-hmm. Natalie says, the baddie has got to be the lad from Luther or the brother. Steve says, I've officially tapped out after two episodes. It's just not for me. I might give it another go once it's all on the ITV Hub. Well, it's well for some having the ITV Hub. It's definitely not worth thinking about as a week-to-week story. That was Steve's opinion. Emma says,
that's so harsh. Like, I know what he means, but that is so harsh, isn't it?
I suppose sometimes what we've been so lucky to have dramas that we can't get out of our heads and that we'll watch, like, you know, it twice a week or three times a week each episode. So I suppose Steve just doesn't think this is it. Emma says, I can't stand the way Tom treats Lana. So overbearing. Huge red flags. What is Billy up to, silly boy? He is ripe for grooming and recruitment by right-wing extremists. Never liked John, but not sure if he's a red herring. Need more Lana and Sonia working to solve the crime together. I absolutely love it.
Silly Billy.
Silly Billy. I have an email here from Olivia Mann who says, hi gang, firstly, I bloody love the podcast, the highlight of my Wednesday. Thanks, Olivia.
Thanks, Olivia.
Trigger Point seems to be getting a bit of bad press on the old social media, and I was just writing in to say I'm actually really enjoying it. I think that we've all come to expect high drama and high octane stuff all the time from the likes of Line of Duty, and which I absolutely love too, but I think sometimes we're so spoiled with all of the guns and drama and the car chases that it's sometimes easy to overlook brilliant slow burn dramas. Trigger Point seems to have more of that slow burn where slowly different parts of Lana's life are unravelling, but I don't necessarily think that that's a bad thing. You guys are gas. Oh, sorry, I said brilliant. I don't know why I paraphrase that as gas. Also, watching this episode, I kept howling every time a massive plot point was mentioned that we already knew because of Rebecca's iconic rundown. P.S. I know that Tom is behind all of the bombings, but he is definitely not good. Get out of that relationship, Lana, and take those wine glasses with you. P.P.S. Brendan, I too am obsessed with The Split. Nicola Walker being a top tier legend. Yes, please. I cannot wait for series 3.
Oh, it's such a good show.
I have to watch that. Thanks for that, Olivia. And have another email here from Laura Jones, who says, hi guys. Firstly, let's have a moment of silence for one of my favourite supporting characters who died in the Line of Duty. R.I.P. Johnny Five Robot. Poor robot.
Poor robot.
Vicky McClure was looking gorgeous as ever, and she is carrying this whole show. I rewatched This Is England last week and she was phenomenal, 10 out of 10. So I do think this show has a weaker script, but our gal is smashing it. Just a wee grumble. What makes me laugh about Trigger Point is the amount of people who appear so dissatisfied with their lives that they feel the need to turn on ITV every week and complain about the show on social media instead of watching something else. They don't realise that ITV are getting the viewing figures from that, which could actually turn this show into a season 2.
I'm so there for that. I just don't get moaning about things on social media, really. I love yapping about things and joking about things, but not moaning about things. If you don't like it, just don't watch the pet.
Yeah, and while others called it pointless or boring, I did see a genuine army veteran, not an armchair one, comment that they appreciated the scene between Lana and Carl as it gave a nod to PTSD and how soldiers struggle to adjust to life after the combat. That conversation between them actually was really good. Anyway, I enjoyed this week's episode. I thought it was more balanced with action and plot than the previous two. The locker find in the A to Z and the leaflets, it just appears too obvious and it seems planted. I think her brother is involved, but again, that also seems obvious as well and could be a red herring. I don't think it's Carl, as that's also too obvious. Although saying that, Laura thinks the vigil was all pretty obvious as well.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. On a different note, can Lana please dump that loser, Tom? He is right controlling and manipulative. He said, I love you twice and she didn't reciprocate. Then he took her plate from her while she was still eating her dinner. I don't think he's bent. I just think he's rude. Thanks, Laura.
I think Lana is already checked out of that relationship.
I don't know if she was ever even in it because this is early days for them. Like, Jesus, what would she be at after 10 years?
Yeah. Thanks very much for all of your thoughts and theories. I've got a next week's synopsis in a second. it's not quite as long as last week's. But first, congrats are in order for Jed Mercurio. He tweeted a photograph of himself this week and said, "I was flattered and humbled to receive an OBE yesterday in the company of so many more deserving recipients, thanks to the brilliant casts, crews and production teams I've worked with over the years, and also, of course, to the amazing fans who've all made this honour possible." So well done, Jed.
What Jed said. What, I got an OBE.
What Jed said, got an OBE. So the synopsis for episode 4, it is dramatically shorter than the one for episode 3, as somebody messaged us to say that ITV had shortened
did
them.
Did you see the line on after. Top? Did you see the line on top?
Yeah.
Did the table?
Oh, no.
Oh, right. What so line? Like, just before you read out the synopsis, right, let me have... The top of the page in the ITV press centre says, "This information contained herein is embargoed for press use, commercial and non-commercial reproduction and sharing into the public domain until Tuesday the 8th of February 2022.
Well, that's today.
Yeah. No, no, we're all good. But yeah, didn't see that last week.
Yeah, well, I mean, don't have it on public Google then. It just comes up as it was literally the first result on Google. Put it behind a paywall or a press wall. Anyway, the synopsis for episode 4 of Trigger Point is, Lana works with New Scotland Yard to hunt for, spelt wrong, the far-right group before they carry out another terror attack.
We'll go on next week in the website. There'll be 404 absolutely blocked
and deleted. Okay, sorry, I'll go again. Lana works with New Scotland Yard to hunt for the far-right group before they carry out another terror attack, and she's confronted by the horrifying possibility that someone close to her could be involved in the bombing campaign. Now, if that's not vague, I don't know what is.
God. Is it the man that she's dating that lives in a lair in the sky? Like, I want that apartment explained.
Oh, I bet you he could drink the water out of his bathroom tap.
Yes.
There'd be no bother on that. Yeah.
And the sunset, gorgeous, a glass of rosé. Imagine sitting out there now,
watching the sunset. Mm. Stunning. I want to say thanks to all of our latest... what are we calling them? Patron pointers?
Yeah.
Yes. Including Rachel Tilsley, Ellis Ewell and Daniel Scott. You and everyone else are keeping Hannah's stunning website, shrinepodcast.com, afloat.
Guys, I need to quickly just... one more thing on the Vietnamese visa coffee and then I will move on, right?
I'm just reading a little bit more into it there.
And you have to be really, really careful about where you got it from. So the animals are called, well, I thought they were called luwaks, but they're called Asian palm civets. So the one I met seemed happy, but a lot of them can be like in farms and in cages and stuff, and they're made to make this coffee against their will. So
I mean,
if you are going to taste a Vietnamese weasel coffee, just maybe try and make sure that it's
cruelty free,
you know, and a happy Asian palm civet.
Do you know that is even more less expected? That I expected that even less than getting my tarot cards read by Paul Cattermole of S Club 7 today. That
I just
sentence
I would not
that you just
I don't
said.
Support we don't support animal cruelty.
No, we don't.
As I read on the Wikipedia page, my eyes widened. I said, Jesus, I better give an update after telling everyone
no,
to go and drink this now.
Hannah,
I don't actually know.
We are the
well
biggest
they're treated.
We are the biggest advocates of Linda McCartney.
But the one I was with seemed free and happy, and he could have absolutely escaped if he wanted to, but he was there from what I can tell of his own accord.
Yeah. Good. Okay, you, well, at least you'd a cruelty free.
You tell yourself what you have to pet.
Fuck.
If you would like to hear our episodes early, you too can support us on patreon.com/shrinepod. We're not off for a special coffee now. I'll just have a water, I think.
Oh, no, I'll have another sip of this, yeah.
From the attic.
from the bathroom tap. That's what I'll drink. And until next week, bye-bye.
Brendan, what's a pasty?
Oh, a pasty is a person. A patsy.
A patsy.
A patsy is a person who is vulnerable and inclined to be used and abused by a group of people that, like, they can obviously make them into be criminals or whatever.
Not something you put in your nipple.
No.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.